For our scripture reading, we turn to the gospel according to Luke, Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, we'll begin reading at verse 13 and we will read through verse 48. Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 13. And one of the company said unto Jesus, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know that if the good men of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Thus far we read God's holy and inspired word. God add his blessing to the reading of his word. It's on the basis of this passage in Scripture and others like it that serves as the basis for the teaching of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 42. In Lord's Day 42, questions and answers 110 and 111. Heidelberg Catechism continuing its treatment of the Ten Commandments, and now the Eighth Commandment, Thou shalt not steal. What doth God forbid in the Eighth Commandment? God forbids not only those thefts and robberies which are punishable by the magistrate, but he comprehends under the name of theft all wicked tricks and devices whereby we design to appropriate to ourselves the goods which belong to our neighbor, whether it be by force or under the appearance of right, as by unjust weights, ells, measures, fraudulent merchandise, false coins, usury, or by any other way forbidden by God, as also all covetousness, all abuse and waste of his gifts. But what doth God require in this commandment? That I promote the advantage of my neighbor in every instance I can or may, and deal with him as I desire to be dealt with by others. Further also, that I faithfully labor so that I may be able to relieve the needy. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what religion that one practices, every devout religious person knows that when they go and serve their God, whomever or whatever kind of a God that may be, that it's going to require of them the sacrifice of their time and their possessions. So that, for example, when the heathen man, the pagan man, goes to his temple of worship to worship his idol God, it's going to mean that he's going to give some of his time and some of his possessions in the service to his false god. And now Jehovah God makes that requirement of us as well. The fourth commandment requires that we set aside the Sabbath in the worship of Jehovah God, and that we give of our offerings to Him. But now as we stand before the eighth commandment, now particularly this morning, as we stand before this commandment, God demands more of us than any idol god requires of its worshipers. Because God says to us in the eighth commandment, not just some of your time, but all of your time. Not just some of your possessions use in service towards me, but all your possessions. All that we are, we owe to Him. And all our possessions and all our time, with no exception whatsoever, are to be used in the service of Almighty God. Well, why does God make that all-encompassing claim of our time and of our possessions? Why isn't it permissible for us to say that God should be happy with what we're able to give Him, even if we're not able to give Him everything? And the answer is because He is sovereign God. The answer is because He is Lord over everything. He lays claim to all our time and all our possessions, and He is the master, and therefore God has the authority to tell us, His slaves and His servants, what to do at every point in time and how to use every good gift that it pleases Him to give us. So God, as owner and master, demands that we use all our time and all our possessions in the service of His name. Well, remembering that we're treating these Ten Commandments from the point of view of thankfulness, we're in the third section of the Heidelberg Catechism, of what gratitude we show God for giving us full deliverance in Jesus Christ, then we receive the eighth commandment. And God gives us so many opportunities to thank and to praise Him for that salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And knowing this joy of salvation in Christ, it becomes our delight to use all our time, to use all our possessions, and pressing it all into the service of His name and in love for the neighbor, an advantage for the neighbor as well. So we look at this eighth commandment in connection with Luke chapter 12. And we take as our theme the right view of possessions. In connection with the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. The right view of possessions. Let's note first that we are to lawfully receive these possessions. Secondly, that we faithfully use them, and finally, that we joyfully live with them. The right view of possessions. Now, it's impossible for us to go through life without possessions. Our possessions include all of the things that we call necessities, food and clothing and shelter. Our possessions, including those things that help us do our labor, whether it's the tools in the cabinet, whether it's the computer in the office, whether it's the books in the classroom, or whatever tool it is that enables you to do your work, all kinds of possessions that we need in life, all kinds of things that we need in order to perform our labor. And the question is, how do we obtain those possessions? And the answer is that we receive them in a lawful way. The Catechism says in answer 11, Further, also that I faithfully labor. That's the lawful way in which it pleases God to give us things. Further, also that I faithfully labor. That's the way to obtain possessions, the way of labor. And this is what Scripture commands. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. So the man was stealing, not laboring. Let him steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may give to him that needeth. The eighth commandment then addresses an unlawful way to obtain possessions. And that unlawful way is by stealing. Thou shalt not steal. So what's the contrast of stealing? Is it not to have any possessions at all? No, that's not the will of God, that we have no possessions, but it's gaining these possessions in a lawful way. And there are a number of principles that govern us as we go about all of our labor, as we wake up in the morning and we say, today I need food, today I need clothing, today I need to provide for the needs of my family, a number of different principles that govern us in obtaining possessions. And the first principle that we need to know is this, is that all things, whatsoever they are, things physical, things immaterial, things spiritual, but all things belong to God. That's the testimony of the Bible. Psalm 50, verses 10 through 11, every beast, God says, of the forest is mine, the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. So that you and I might say of the possessions in our house and in our vehicle, well, those things are mine, but God lays claim to it all. And that was the problem with the rich fool that we read of here in Luke chapter 12. He ignored the fact that all his possessions came to him from God. And that rich fool says, well, I have so much. What am I going to do with all that I have? Well, this, I know what I will do. And it was all about him, all about himself. And the disciples, too, were prone to forget that their possessions come from God, and all of their well-being for that matter, so that Jesus says to them to consider the lilies of the field, consider the ravens of the air. God clothes the lilies. God provides for the birds. And so must you also not be anxious regarding your daily bread. God knows your needs. He will provide. And God is powerful and able to provide. All things belong to Him. In the second place, the second principle, as we go about our day-to-day duties, we must know this, that God gives different things to different people. He gives to one a certain amount, and he gives to another a different amount, a greater amount or a lesser amount. God may do that. He is wise. He is sovereign. Jesus illustrates that in verse 42 when he speaks of the Lord returning and making the wise and faithful steward ruler over his household and giving them, in verse 42, their portion of meat in due season. But giving to every good steward his or her portion of meat, so that God assigns a portion to to each of us. A different portion, but a portion that God has determined, and a portion that is perfectly suited to meet all my needs. So that God says that this husband and this wife and this family need less, even though there's 6 or 7 or 8 children in the household, than this family over here that only has 1 or 2 children who are all grown up and out of the house. It's God's prerogative. He may give as He sees fit. And the question then is put to us, will I receive then without murmuring and without grumbling, without putting myself up next to the neighbor and the goods that I want that I see the neighbor has, but will I receive without grumbling and without complaining what it has pleased God in His good pleasure to give me my portion? And then the third and final principle that governs us in obtaining all of our possessions, that when I come to the conclusion that I don't have enough, when the bills are not getting paid, the expenses exceed the income, then God only gives me certain options as how to obtain more. And that God says of other ways that I might be tempted to obtain more, that God says, no, you may not use that way. So what are the lawful ways for us to obtain possessions? Having possessions is not wrong. It pleases God that we do have possessions. What are the lawful ways? In the first place, the means of work and hard labor. In the beginning, God created man to work, and God uses that labor to give us what we need. What's forbidden then is laziness. What's forbidden then is a refusal to work. What's forbidden is an attitude that though I will work and though I want that paycheck, yet I'm going to work as little as possible while trying to get as much as I possibly can. And if the child of God concludes that he's not making enough, and if he's not being covetous in saying that, but in a godly and spiritual way, makes that assessment, the question he must ask himself first is, am I working hard enough? Am I working long enough? Am I working diligently and faithfully? But hard work and hard labor is the means that God uses and in which it pleases Him to give us possessions. In the second place, the Lord gives us possessions and provides for us by means of gifts. Because not everything that we have, we've worked for. So that if it be that I'm working hard as I possibly can, still being a good father in the home, still being a mother to the children, and yet I need more, then I look for gifts. And I receive those gifts not only from family members, but also from the church. And God provides through the office of mercy in the church, through the deacons. And with the gifts that the deacons bring, those physical material gifts not being the most important being the rich, comforting words of the gospel that comfort our hearts and souls and gives us everything that we need. But nonetheless, giving us also those physical gifts, then that is God giving us what we need for the body. That's God providing food for the table, clothes for the body, money for the bills. And we ought to appreciate that God provides for us by means of gifts. Because it's the pride of man's heart to say that I don't want to be dependent upon somebody else. Because that's lowering myself. And that's too embarrassing for me. Because then that's, I would have to admit that I depend upon others. And I just don't like to feel that way. And then we can sometimes wrongly think that to have to go to the deacons is really a lowering of myself. And that I would have to be so destitute, I would have to be on the brink of starvation before I would ever dare go to the church and go to the deacons and ask for money from the church. And yet this is what we must know, that this is the means that God provides when work does not bring in sufficient income for the family. The means of gifts. So that we ought not steal from the church by going to help, going for help from the deacons when we don't need that help or because we're being lazy with regard to work. No. But nevertheless, we mustn't ignore or overlook the Church of Jesus Christ as a means to supply our need. God provides by means of gifts. And therefore, because God intends us to use these lawful means, hard work and labor, and the means of gifts, that therefore our God and Father forbids us to steal. Stealing, taking that which does not belong to me. Obtaining my possessions in an unlawful way. That stealing is such a temptation and is so attractive to that old man of sin within us. Whether it's that little child in the grocery store or that child in the classroom when no one else is looking, or whether an adult selling my vehicle, selling some other large possession and not giving out all of the information so that that possession will fetch a higher price, whether there were many side jobs that I did over the course of the year in which I was paid in cash, and yet when tax season comes around, I'm negligent in reporting all of that income to the government. But stealing in all of its different forms is a temptation for you and for me. And it's a temptation especially for two reasons. In the first place, because by stealing, I can get things without working. Or at least getting those things without working as hard as I otherwise would. Because work, hard work, requires so many hours during the day. It requires me to give of myself so that sometimes at the end of the day I am beat and I am exhausted physically and mentally when that day is over and when that work is complete. But by stealing, one would say, I get just as much and I don't have to go home feeling so spent and so expired. In the second place, stealing is a temptation because when I take that which does not belong to me, I can obtain immediately that which I want. And that's the spirit of the day in which we live. I want it now. Not next week, not in a few, not even tomorrow. I want it now. Instant gratification. And when I work, I have to wait for my paycheck, sometimes a week, sometimes every other week, maybe even a month. When I steal, I can have it now. And there are all kinds of excuses that people use to justify their stealing, to justify taking something that does not belong to them, all kinds of other excuses. that other person doesn't need it. They have more than they need anyways. Who's going to notice that it's gone? Nobody's going to notice. It might as well be mine. There's the excuse, but what I took, it was hardly worth anything anyways. It'll benefit me a whole lot more than it'll benefit the other person I took it from. They don't deserve it, but I do. And I'll make better use of it anyways, and that person will just waste it. I'll make good use of it. Or perhaps one tries to justify his stealing by saying, I'll just try not to think about what I just did, and if I owe somebody money, maybe I can wait long enough. And if I just wait long enough, they'll forget about it, and I'll forget about it, and nobody will be none the wiser. What's the excuse that you've used? What's the excuse that I've used? God counts all that as stealing. The Catechism indicates other forms of stealing besides, all kinds of other forms that are forbidden. In the first place, the obvious that even society understands that is wrong, theft and robberies, the Catechism mentions, which are punishable by the magistrate. That's the outright act of theft, the outright act of robbery, whether it's stealing a car or robbing a bank or not even to that large of a degree, going out and stealing something in a gross way that does not belong to me. Thefts and robberies are forbidden. But in the second place, the Heidelberg Catechism speaks of more refined ways in which one attempts to steal. When the Catechism mentions all of those unjust weights, ells, measures, fraudulent merchandise, false coins, usury, or by any other way forbidden by God. And many of these examples are examples that are found in the arena of business, usually by the one who is selling a good, but then even sometimes on the part of a buyer. But merchandise that is fraudulent, it's not what it's claimed to be. Counterfeit money, charging excessive interest. These are the ways in which men steal undercover, as it were. Ways in which they try to cover up their thefts and robberies so that nobody can get on their tracks and follow them. And the list that the Heidelberg Catechism gives requires us to examine ourselves and our own lives. In what ways are we tempted to steal? Or in what ways have we stolen so that I sell a product and I say that my product is worth this much, and in our mind we know that the product really is not worth that much? Employees, have we taken what belongs to the employer without their knowledge? Or if you are an employer, withholding adequate compensation to the employee who works for it? Children, have you taken something that does not belong to you, taken it from your brother or sister? Taken something from school, from your classmates, that does not belong to you? And we can extend the applications into so many other areas of life, but even to our gathering together in the church services and in our giving to the offerings, especially to the general fund, or shall I say by our at times not giving? Have we robbed from God by not bringing of our tithes and of our offerings for the causes of the kingdom and of giving of the first fruits of our labor? God forbids all such actions because we must trust in Him alone to provide. The eighth commandment requires that we trust in God and that we obtain our possessions in a lawful way. And when it pleases God to give us these possessions, then God requires that we use them faithfully, that we be good stewards of all that it pleases God to give us, that we use everything in love and devotion for Jehovah God, and that we use all things in love and service for the neighbor. Because you see, God has given unto us all that we have, whether it's the bare necessities, the food and the clothing and the shelter, whether it's all of the luxuries that we have, and we do have many luxuries all over the house, whether the big things like our house or vehicle, or even the very little things lying around the house, the faithful steward always has in mind, what I have doesn't belong to me. It all belongs to God. And I'm so very thankful that God has given it to me, and I'll be sure to use it in a good, in an honest, and in an upright way, in a way that demonstrates my thankfulness to God for all that He's done for me. Faithfully then also using these things in love for the neighbor as well. Because here we're in the second table of the law, what duties also we owe our neighbor. And we show love for the neighbor by our refraining from stealing and by our doing all things for the advantage of the neighbor. The Catechism reminds us of what's often called the Golden Rule in answer 111. When the Catechism says that I promote the advantage of my neighbor, in every instance I can or may, and deal with him as I desire to be dealt with by others. And the Catechism says that because that's the testimony of Scripture. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law. And this is the prophets. But how a temptation that is, that's so hard to do the exact opposite. Because by nature, I want the neighbor to use his possessions to my welfare and advantage. And then I will go and use my things also to my welfare and advantage. And once my needs are met, then I'll begin thinking about doing something for the neighbor. But you see, no, that's the wrong order. The eighth commandment requires that we seek the welfare of the neighbor instead of worrying about whether my neighbor is using his things to my advantage. Let us say, but am I using my things to his advantage so that at the end of the day, and I have all but depleted my resources, but my concern is still for the neighbor, for his well-being, for his advantage. And mind you, helping the neighbor out without the expectation of receiving anything back. That's love. Now, there are people in this world who are very good at doing the exact opposite, doing something in hopes of a return, and that can become a temptation for us when we would say, or think in our mind that I will help this other person out because I know that in the future, they just might help me out. There just might come the time when I will be put in a position and they will have to help me out, and they just might return the favor to a greater degree than I gave it to them in the first place. But that's not love. Being motivated by getting something else greater in return, that's actually a very subtle form of stealing. But rather what we are to do is to love, to give freely, and to do so without any expectation of return. Using our possessions in love reminds us of some other ways than that the eighth commandment can be violated. It's not loving God and faithfully using what God has first given unto us when we engage in forms of gambling, when we engage in forms of playing the lottery. Nowadays, gambling is encouraged, I suppose, so long as somebody has disposable income and as long as you only engage in what's called recreational gambling, then supposedly it's fine. But is that love for God with what He has first given unto us? When it pleases God to give us things through the means of hard work and labor, and then to go seek more through illegitimate means? Well, even as the Israelites in the wilderness tempted God, so also gambling is a way of tempting God to give me things in a way in which it does not please Him to give us earthly possessions. And then further, it's not showing love to the neighbor and faithfully using our things for the welfare of the neighbor when we refuse to pay the debt that we owe the neighbor. Whether that neighbor is the bank and we have taken out a mortgage, or a private loan from a family member, it's not love for the neighbor in the Church of Jesus Christ when we do not set as top priority our giving to the general fund and of our giving and of paying off the debt that we would owe in Christian school tuition. But you see, in all of this, it's the principle of love for God and love for the neighbor that guides us in how we use all our possessions. Luke 12 also gives us further instruction as to how we are to faithfully use our possessions. And we are to use our possessions in hope. In hope of the Master's return. So that in verse 36 and following from Luke chapter 12, Jesus compares those who watch for His return to men who wait for their Lord to return from the wedding, and He pronounces them blessed who are found watching. And then Peter asks in verse 41, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And Jesus inasmuch says, yes, especially to you, because I'm speaking about when the Lord returns and judges His stewards who have been wise and faithful, and you, My disciples, the Church of Jesus Christ, must be that. And so Jesus is admonishing us, the church, to use our possessions in the hope of His return. Verse 43, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. And we say, so doing what? Well, so using all that God has first given him for the furtherance of God's kingdom and God's covenant in the midst of this world. And when verse 43 says, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." The so doing is the working and the laboring. The so doing is the watching and the waiting for Christ's return. So that even as we work and as we labor, we are at the same time watching and waiting for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the basis for all of our hopeful labor is with an eye on the Lord Jesus Christ. We labor in love for Him. We work in hope of His second coming, sure and confident that He is coming because we belong to Him. As a church, we are betrothed to Him. Such was His love that He gave His life on the cross of Calvary to redeem us from all of our sins and to make us His own property. And so we look for Him and we are obedient to His word to be faithful with all that He's given unto us so that we don't squander away all of the good gifts that God has given unto us, but that we press them all into the service of His name in love and devotion to Him, to our Savior, who squandered nothing but gave everything, even His very life, so that we might become spiritually rich in Him. And that means, beloved, that so long as we wait for our Savior's return, so long as we have possessions, that we must use them to be sure, but that we use them joyfully. And that joyfulness will show itself by our being content with what we have. A content steward is one who is joyful with all that it pleases the Lord to give him and all that it pleases the Lord even to withhold from him. But he who is content does not set his heart upon earthly things, thinking that his happiness and security is dependent upon those things. Good instruction for us here, for you children, that there is no toy that mom or dad can buy you for that would make you happy for the rest of your life. There is simply no toy that exists. And then for all of us, there is no possession. There is no vehicle. There is no home. There is no article of clothing. There is no furnishing around the house. There is no earthly possession at all that will make you truly happy. Contentment requires us to understand that and not to set our hearts upon the things of this earth. Jesus warns against that in verse 15. "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." A life of covetousness, desiring more, which is the seed of that sin of stealing. A life of covetousness does not bring happiness, does not bring joy. A life of covetousness is hurtful for the neighbor, especially when that covetousness turns into stealing, outright stealing. That life of covetousness is not good for my own soul when I lust and crave for that which does not belong to me. But a life of contentment is a happy life. A happy life not only because it says, one day I will have more. And that's true. In heaven, one day, God will give us all things. But even now, contentment says, God knows what He's doing. He is sovereign. He is wise in what He gives me. And today, I have enough. Well, beloved, there comes a day when we will own all things in the new heavens and the new earth. The thief will not break in and steal. The moth will not eat. The rust will not corrupt. And our possession will never wear out. And we will live as stewards of God into all eternity. We look forward to that day. Live in hope of that day. But not all will enter in. Not all will enter into that heavenly Canaan. Excluded will be thieves and robbers. Thieves will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. But by the grace of God, we have the hope of that day in which we will be rich and we will be full and we will be satisfied, receiving that of our Savior, of which eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man to conceive the things which God has in store for them who love Him. And so let us not steal, but content ourselves with God's good grace to us. And as the Heidelberg Catechism says, let us steal no more, but rather labor with your hands the things which is good, that ye may be able to give to him that needeth. May God so grant that. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank thee that thou art Almighty God, the Creator of all things, the owner of all things. And we confess that all that we are, we owe to Thee. And everything that we would claim is ours belongs to Thee. Give us contentment with Thy will for us in life. Give us to know the means that Thou hast set forth in Thy Word to obtain possessions, and in that way to ward us off from the violation of this commandment, that we would work hard to the glory of thy name, giving to the neighbor, but in all things giving all praise and honor and glory to thee, our Lord and our God. We pray this all in Jesus' name alone. Amen. We sing Psalter number 204. Psalter number 204, and let's sing all the stanzas, all four of 204. Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.